You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, Joe here from Stretford Paddock. Before we get into this podcast, we are having a giveaway for people who are listening to our podcast. We're going to be giving away a t-shirt of your choice from our merch store. Now, here's what you have to do to enter. If you're listening on iTunes, head over to iTunes and leave us a five-star review. We'll pick the best review to win a t-shirt, so make sure you get creative. Basically, the funniest one wins. If you're listening on any other platform, so Spotify, Google, or anywhere else, share the podcast on either Instagram stories or Twitter. Make sure to tag us and use the hashtag Paddock Podcast. That's hashtag Paddock Podcast. We're also doing a lot more for you guys who are listening to the podcasts, including podcasts arriving first on audio and some exclusive audio-only shows. So make sure you stay subscribed. Now, on to the show.
Jay here for Stretford Paddock. This is the Academy Review, and with me is a man who needs no introduction, but I'll give him one anyway, Mr. David Pritt. How are we doing, mate?
Good. Pretty good, considering it's supposed to be locked down. I've been at home doing nothing.
We are distanced, don't worry.
Yeah, don't worry. So, yeah. Look at all this. I can't
we've stopped holding hands during the lockdown. You've got a lot to live up to, you mate, actually, because the last video, setting examples, I think it was on to about, I know we don't just deal in numbers here on this channel, but I think it was about almost 60,000 people watched it, which shows that it was popular and people are interested in what you've got to say, because obviously we're watching it for anything I've got to say. So, you know, you've raised the bar, so we've got to maintain it.
I don't know how I'm going to do that.
Like Jose in his first season at United, you set a standard that, you know, you may struggle to live up to. So you're obviously going to be talking about the academy team and also the under-23s. You've been watching them. We'll start with the under-18s. What can you tell us about them? Because they've had a few games, haven't they, since we last spoke?
Yeah, they're actually doing all right, actually. They're joint top with a game in hand, so you can't get better than that, to be honest. They have and joint top with Liverpool. So, you know, it's, you know, you like don't like to say, but they've got a pretty good academy, so competing with them. But I mean, if we win our game, we're obviously 3 points ahead of them. But we played Everton, another local team, 2-0. Zidane Iqbal, who I think is becoming such a great player now, he's got a lot of lift up to with his name.
I mean, let's face facts, right? If you call your kid Zidane, he's not going to go and be a butcher, is he, or a, you know, an hairdresser? You're sort of giving him a bit of a putting him on a hiding to nothing there.
Yeah.
I'm going to call you one of the greatest players ever. Go on, Zidane.
But he's playing well because he's well. To be fair, I've not seen him in person for a while because of what's happened. But he's a quite smallish player, but he might have like grown a foot since I've last seen him. But yeah, he's playing well. He's got his first goal, and then the second one was Garnacho, the new signing.
Yes,
he gets a new goal, and yeah, it's all looking rosy at the moment. He beat Everton once again. There we've got an amazing academy. Won a couple of years ago. I think they won the under-18s league and the under-23 league. So, you know, a lot coming out of there. So beating them is a good result.
You mentioned it about new signing Garnacho. I mean, a lot of these youngsters, and I'm sure most of you understand, but a lot of these youngsters are brought in, aren't they? Some of these youngsters are brought in from other clubs, or they're signed and then they're nurtured. And this is one thing that I think United has this reputation of, and you can sort of expand on it, of bringing in youngsters not necessarily, you know, 13, 14, but even like 17 or 18, whatever, and being able to nurture them, being able to get them ready from that next step up to the first team. And, you know, the prime example of that would be someone like Paul Pogba. You know, we get him as a teenager, you know, I think he was, what, 15, 16?
Yeah, he wants one that comes out under nines. He's another one at the moment. We'll talk about him in a bit. Pujmal, he played a tournament in Spain. So that was a decent player and got him in straight away, playing for the 18s. He'd never played for the 16s, 15s, etc. And yeah, he's doing bits at the moment. So yeah, it's a thing that they do when they go to these things. If they see someone, they're obviously going to do it. It's like with Ronaldo with the first team. I know it's a different level.
No, but you're right.
When you play against certain players and you can see, Christ, these are good players, they're gonna try and get them to your club because it's going to be an asset, obviously.
You've got to as well. Now, you look at Chelsea and City. They've dominated the FA Youth Cups, haven't they, recently? Especially Chelsea had that ridiculous run in it. City is doing well as well at the academy because they buy these teenagers. They get these players, don't they, bring them in from all over. And also, they have the local talent as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's the sort of bringing the players in is a part and parcel of the academy team now. And it perhaps even more so than it has been in the past.
Yeah, but I think I mentioned this in the last video. I think at United, they run it differently than what Chelsea and City do.
Good.
It is good, and maybe it's bad in other ways. It's for them, it's all about winning these trophies at youth level. Look at City's ground. You know, when you go, if they've got around the stadium, all the trophies they've won at senior level, the academy, the reserves, the women. So they like to say, we've won the Youth Cup this year. You know, it's all posted on the stadium. Chelsea, that they won five in a row. Obviously, they wanted to win the Youth Cup. But with us, don't get me wrong, I think they do. United want to go out and win the Youth Cup, but it's not the be-all and end-all. It's about getting that player into the first team.
Well, we've seen that. You've spoken about, haven't we, in the past, where couldn't we just play Mason in this game?
Yeah, exactly. But
you know what I mean? Like,
they could have done, but that's not what United want to do. They don't want. They'd rather sacrifice the Youth Cups because Mason's in the first team, and it's a better thing for me seeing Mason in the first team than winning the under-18s, you know, Youth Cup and then not going on to do anything. I mean, there's been players at both City and Chelsea. You know, to be fair to him, someone like Phil Foden at City has done both.
And I'm not having a dig at you, but they dine out on that, though, don't they? So.
No, he's a good player. You know,
in terms of their academy, it's sort of like, well, look, Phil Foden.
No.
Yeah, because they sort of.
But they also let Sancho go. So
they let Sancho go. The other lad as well, Ibrahim Diaz. I remember when I used to cover City, unfortunately, as a reporter sometimes, and they were all raving about him.
Diaz is going to
be the next big thing. And I know he got a move to a bigger club. He went to Real Madrid, and I think he's on loan now in Italy. But, you know, like you say, with Sancho and with Diaz, a lot of these players, they end up moving on because they cannot get that pass.
That's the issue, whereas I think with us, we're trying to get them in there. And I've mentioned before as well about Kieran McKenna now being in the first team coaching staff. He knows most of these players. There's, you know, people like Brandon Williams and Mason Greenwood are in the first team. He coached them. He knows everything about them. So if Ollie's saying, what's this lad like? He can tell you everything about him, where he can play, what he can do, what his attitude's like. And obviously he's got a good relationship with the current under-18s manager and the assistant because he worked with them. And so I think it's just one of the best things, bringing McKenna up to the first team.
Well, this is what, you know, we want to see, and it's something we might have to do more of because we know that we haven't spent the money we want to spend. And I'm not saying we just start throwing youngsters in left, right and centre, but if a young player is good enough, then the chances are he's going to get more of a chance at United than perhaps had in the past because of the fact that, you know, we have got sort of a, not a gap, but there's chances there because we've not gone doolally in the transfer market, probably not spent what we should have in the transfer market. So hopefully that can open up the way, well, you know, one positive we get from it is it opens up the pathway for some of these younger players and some of the ones you've mentioned. From what you've seen, it looks like, you know, they've got a chance.
And I think we're doing at the moment, which we'll go on to in the next under-18s game, is we have very young squads. Our under-23 squads are all like 18, 19. There's not many over, I don't think there's any over the age of 20, maybe the goalkeeper. And our under-18s, I don't think there's maybe one or two that are 18. They're all a young squad. And we played Middlesbrough away recently, 4-1. That new signing, what we just mentioned, Joe Hugill, I put this on Twitter the other day, whoever found him deserves a medal because he's such a good striker. And I went last season to Sunderland away, under-23s, Sunderland away, 18s, and the 16s played as well. So watched all three away and then watched the 18s and the 23s at home. And he didn't play in any of them. I don't know if he was injured or, I don't know, he didn't play. So the United's point of view, they've not seen what he's like. And the Sunderland team have been, especially last season, both the 23s and the 18s awful. I don't
really
just not winning.
That's like a football tradition in Sunderland, though, isn't it? All your teams are.
Well, since they've gone downhill, yeah, they've had to sacrifice the academy, unfortunately for them. But the I think they went. One of the teams went didn't win a single game, and one got a draw. So you can, you know, you're watching these teams, and when I watched him, you couldn't pick out a good player because they're getting battered. But someone's obviously seen him and in these teams and think, oh, he's got something about him, and he's come to us, and he's like I say, he's got scored two against Middlesbrough, he scored two against Blackburn, both 18s and 23s. He's scoring goals, and he's now, even though he's playing for the 18s, he's also playing for the 23s. A bit of a play for both. He's not going to play the full 90 for both, but if he plays 90 for the 18s, he'll play for the 23s, maybe come on last 20 minutes or so, and he really has looked good.
Yeah,
well, so is there a type of player he is? Is he just an out-and-out striker? Or
yeah, he's for me. He holds the ball up well, and he's... I don't want to say he's the fastest. He is fast, but he's not like when I'm trying to compare to not like Mason Greenwood fast.
Right, okay. Well, that's not really an insult because Mason Greenwood's ridiculous.
He's just like a centre forward, you'd want a centre forward to be. He's not one that you'd want to stick out on the wing and run inside. He's just stick him up front and he'll score goals for you.
More traditional, perhaps, because the modern sort of striker, in inverted commas, seems to be someone like Marcus, like Mason, even Anthony Martial, where they're sort of drifting in, going out wide.
Yeah.
They're not really in and around the box all the time or holding it up as much. It tends to be more like what was termed an inside forward, whereas he's more of a traditional...
From what I've seen so far, and obviously he's only played a handful of games so far. He's still got a lot of the way to go. But yeah, for me, he's been an amazing signing. Charlie Willens also got a goal in that game. And then, what to mention about our young squad, a 15-year-old lad scored. I won't mention his name here, but if you Google it, you'll find it.
Yeah.
So,
very safeguarding here on this channel is Dave. You know what I mean? He has rules and he sticks to them. I like that about him.
But, yeah, so the fact that a 15-year-old's playing and scoring for the under-18s is really good. I mean, Shola Shortire, who we'll get onto in a bit, he played in the UEFA Youth League, which is under-19 level, at 14. He's still the youngest player to ever play in European competition. And
what is going on? What's going on? These are children.
I know. And when he came on, it was like he had to honestly take a day of school.
Where is he? Why is he not in his lesson? Oh, he's playing in a tournament. What sort of tournament? He's playing for Manchester United. What?
Yeah, and this is what we are about now. And I think Solskjaer's brought that back. Where there was a point where we had a lot of the under 23s were 23. Yeah. 21 to 23, and just weighing it out, basically. You know?
I mean, when you get... listen, if you're playing for Manchester United at any capacity, you're obviously a huge talented footballer. I'm not disparaging anyone that plays for under-23s, but, you know, we've seen it, a few players, and I've seen it myself, where if you're sort of 21, 22, 23, and your main chances are playing on the under-23s, the likelihood is you're going to struggle to get into the first team.
Yeah.
It's not always the case. Some players do... You know, Jesse's a prime example of
somebody who
blossomed later on in his career, and, you know, at 21, 22, he was out on loan, and then 23, I think it was, when he came into the first team. But by and large, that sort of says you're not going to make it as a Manchester United player. If you're in the under-23s as an 18, 19-year-old, you've still got every chance.
Yeah, and you've got to take every player.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a rule as in saying stop.
You do, like Jesse, you see players, but to be fair to him, he went on loan about five...
Everywhere,
you
know,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. So he tried to get out there and play first team football. And yeah, I've seen other players literally just not go out on loan, wait till it's 23 and it's see you later kind of thing. Another one that, in a way, was someone... I know he's younger and he wasn't 23, but Scott McTominay, he didn't really go out on loan. He just stayed with the 20... And he got his chance and... That's it now. I think he played one game after that for the 23s, and then that was his first team player ever on after that.
Yeah, I mean, like you say, it's not a sort of set in stone rule, and there are players like McTominay's a good
example.
Two games he played. Get it right, Dave. Come on, get with it, mate.
I only forgot about the Arsenal. Do you know what happened on his debut against Arsenal?
For the first team?
Yeah, we played away at Arsenal. Remember, he had that shot right at the end, nearly scored.
Yeah.
So they drove all the way back to Manchester.
Yeah.
Goes home. They get back at, I don't know what time, early hours of the morning.
Yeah.
Then he travels back up with the 23s because we play the following night against Arsenal at the Emirates. So he'd go all the way back north and then go all the way back down south. He might as well have kept him there if he's going to...
But he was on such a high, though. He didn't care. And he's like...
I'd have been fuming.
Could he just left there, eh? Now I'm back. What a joke. What a nightmare, but... obviously, you know, we know that McSauce is full of beans, so I'm sure he didn't mind too much. Who else of the academy
so we
in
played,
action against?
Played Stoke last weekend. 1-0 game, got the goal in the 88th minute, Dylan Hugerworth. So we're not, it's not like we're scoring goals like four against Middlesbrough all the time, but we're getting 3 points. That's all that really matters. And because of that, we're, like say, joint top with Liverpool with a game in hand.
Take that for the first team, wouldn't you? Being joint top with the Scousers.
Yeah, of course.
It's good, though. It's good for the young teams to be doing well. It's good. It's confidence boost for them to be challenging. And you want your academy side to be, you know, going into games, like on you saying, on the front foot and taking a game to the teams and playing well and feeling confident and challenging, which, you know, is obviously what's going on in a minute.
Yeah, and they got a game this weekend against Newcastle, which... So it was a bit, you know, rough and ready, the Newcastle game. I don't know why. They always seem to get stuck in a bit more. And I think the Newcastle players get stuck in as well.
Geordie's for you, isn't it? I mean, I love it.
They're always entertaining games. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah, good stuff. It sounds like things are going well for the academy. Probably going a little bit better than they are for the first team, especially in terms of the league. But hopefully that'll filter through and we'll see some of these players making their debut sooner rather than later. Moving on to the under-23s, we're speaking about it briefly. They've been in action. It's been a bit of a mixed bag. I'll start with, was it the Brighton game?
Yeah, so they're playing different times now as well. Usually the 23s play like Friday night, 7 o'clock, Monday night, 7
o'clock. Yeah, that's when they used to go Leeds Sports Village.
Yeah, now they're playing a lot earlier, and they played Brighton away, and it was, I think it was like 2 o'clock kickoff, which I don't know if they must have spent the night there, because there's no way they're travelling all the way.
Brighton and I, first thing in the morning to play football.
Their training ground, and it's unfortunate, really, because, you know, it is locked down, but these kids are still in school, so they're not always going to see these type of games. Luckily, I managed to see it, and... good result, really. Really good result. I think it was 5-2. 5-2. Shola Shortai, we talked about before. He scored a goal, and he's coming on really well as well. I'll talk to the last game he played. I'll mention him again. But this game, he got a pretty decent goal. And he's bulking up in a way. He's always been this little, like I say, he was 14 when he first played.
I mean, to be fair, yeah.
He's always been small. He's getting bigger, and he's widening out, and he's coming much as stronger and better player because of it, I think.
What sort of player is he? Is he a sort of like, is he someone who's just good on the ball? Is he like to go for his players?
I'd stick him as like a number 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's just good. He is good on the ball. He's fast, and you can hit him now.
Yeah, these guys have got so much time as well, obviously. There's plenty of years to come, but it's good that they're on the right track and things are going well for them. You say Brighton was 5-2,
obviously. Yeah, sorry, Medbury scored the first, not Shortai. To be fair, him and Pujamal looked so good together in midfield. They played like the midfield too, and they just look great together. The thing like Hannibal, he's still a bit petulant in a way. You know, he likes to kick people, moan about it, but then get kicked and roll over a few times. But
I love all that. We've missed that in the first time. I know you don't want to see it.
He's
Dave.
Kicking that out a bit, yeah. But, and it just,
especially youngsters.
Yeah,
but,
and he's playing really well, and he must be the most foul player in the.
Really,
you know what? If you put all the under 18s, 23s, and the Premier League together, all the clubs, he's probably the most foul player in all of them, I reckon.
Really?
Yeah, he's getting kicks about all the time. He's fast. He's good on the ball, and people are annoyed by him. And he's got big hair, so people are like, "I'm going to get him."
People liked your comparison last time. Who would you compare him to?
Who would I compare him to? I'm not comparing anyone to anyone because
I got in trouble last time.
I said Ethan Galbraith was good at like scoring goals from the edge of the box, probably better than Scholes at it. And then everyone says, I said Ethan Galbraith's better than Paul Scholes.
The thumbnail was better than Scholes. And Dave was like, well, actually, you know, I only said he's better at a certain part of his game than perhaps Scholes was at one time.
It's all in good fun.
I get why you might be a bit reluctant, but listen, if he's half the player, I mean, I'm not as I don't think anyone is as clued up on the youth team when it comes to being a fan as you are, to be fair, but I'm not that clued up, but I've heard so many good things about him.
Yeah, and he's still pretty young, you know. He's not been here that long, probably about a year now.
Yeah,
you know, he's from Paris, and he's gonna look good. I can see him doing. If he doesn't do things for us, he'll be somewhere else, and he'll be a part of that French team as well. They always produce good players, and I think he's capable of that. Yeah,
he could go right through to national level at France.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, and then I think he could. I think he could do it for us. Really, if he keeps his head down, I think he's capable of it.
So there you go. He said he's better than Paul Pogba at everything, and Anthony Martial, and Patrice Evra.
And Eric Cantona.
And Eric Cantona, yeah, I forgot the best, my favourite one. Yeah, he's better than Cantona. He didn't really say that. Before people start commenting. What's going on here? Someone's going to fast forward just so that bit and see that.
You'll probably clip it up and...
As if we do that today, David, I don't know what you mean. Also, like we said, it's been a bit of a mixed bag because in the EFL Trophy...
Oh, no, finished. So
that many goals, I forgot.
Helm scored one and we were 3-0 up at half-time, and then on the hour mark, we concede a penalty. They score it, and then a minute later, they score another and make it 3-2. And then Alvaro Fernandez, who one of our new signings, has been playing. I don't know if he's playing like a wing back or is he playing left wing. He's playing well anyway. Right. He's just in that area and he cuts inside and has a great. If you get the chance to watch
about a modern attacker. That's a modern.
I just love someone coming in.
Yeah, coming like in an Alex Telles type. You don't know whether it's like
coming in to, you know, cutting inside at the edge of the box and just curling one in. Love to see it, and he gets one. And then Pujamal, who I mentioned before, who's been playing well with Shawtire, he gets one quite late on. And he's another player who I've spoken about this in the past, who he benefited in the 18s where Ethan Laird got injured, like we talked about last week. Unfortunately, he's always getting injuries. So we had no right back. And so they put Pujamal as right back. And I don't know if he was frustrated at first, but it made his game much better. Once he went back into midfield, if he lost the ball, he'd try and win it back, and he's more defensive that way. He's still got his attacking assets, but he added another string to his bow. And yeah, him and Hannibal played amazing in that game.
What's that like for you as a fan, Dave? Because you're seeing these players proper learning their craft, developing.
It is good. I mean, you know, you look at someone like when the Astana game went over there. That was brilliant for me because, you know, seeing these lads that I've seen at under 18 to 23s and then going playing for the first team, it's brilliant to see. You know, not all of them will go on to have multiple games for United. You know, some of them might go, you know, leave next season, whatever. I don't know. But it's good to see. And someone like Mason as well, you know, you see him and you think, Christ, he's good. Can he do it? And then you now see him played in the Champions League last night, and it's brilliant to see.
I can only imagine because you've watched these guys from when they were kids, and you see them there learning sort of the game developing, and then getting into the first team because that Astana game was unreal, wasn't it? Because I remember we saw the travelling. We were doing a preview.
Yeah.
And someone said this is a travelling squad, and I dismissed it. I was like, "Don't sell it. No, it's not." But it was great to see so many of them.
Yeah, get six debuts that game. It was brilliant to see. Yeah.
And you know, no one can ever take that away from them. They've played for Manchester United. I mean, it doesn't matter whether you go on to have a long career at Old Trafford or that was your only game, you've still played for this club, and that's something that, you know, is pretty special, and I'm, you know, jealous of anyone that's done it. Did we cover all the goals there?
Yeah.
Yes.
So the EFL Trophy, which I spoke about last week, was it 2 weeks ago? I don't know.
2 weeks, I think, wasn't it? I can't remember.
Last time
we were out here.
I mentioned how I think it's a great thing. You know, it helps players develop better. The other team really going for it. One, they want to beat United, and it's, you know, it's a competitive game. It's at the end of, if you win, you get all your games, you obviously go on to Wembley and lift the trophy. But we had 69.3% possession.
Yeah.
So what score do you think it was?
Let's pretend I don't know. But 69.3% possession, I'm going to say we just shaded it. I'll go for a 1-0 United.
Yeah, we got beat 4-0.
How can you beat 4-0 when you've got the ball just like 2/3 of the game?
Yeah, first goal came, I think, bit of naivety from Harvey Neville. Lets him cut inside. He should have took him out, you know, on the right, but he let him cut inside and he got a goal. And then there was another mix-up with Neville, Will Fish and Hannibal Mejbri, where they should have dealt... Well, he got past Neville and then Fish and Mejbri should have dealt with it. They didn't. Got another goal and we're 2-0 down. And the moment that happened, our heads just dropped. And,
really?
Yeah, it was unfortunate. And then the third one was a pain in the backside because a cross coming, I think it was a corner if I remember rightly, comes in and Reece Devine's fouled in the box. You can see he's pushed to the floor, ball bounces, the guy pushed him, ends up tapping it in the goal. And there's no VAR and stuff at that level, obviously, but it was just, it's frustrating because that killed the game after that, and then they went on to score another one and just, yeah, embarrassed us really. You know, we didn't play too bad, I don't think. It was just, they were too good for us up front. Our defenders didn't really handle it. And we had Ted and Mengi playing. We had Will Fish, who I think are two great centre-backs, but it was just a bit too much for him, I think. You know, we were all you know, they're playing a lot of games, and yeah, it's just one of them.
Is that, I mean, I don't want to be overly melodramatic here. Is that maybe a little bit of a, not a wake-up call, but just a reminder that maybe someone like Ten Hag just still got his a little bit of a way to go? Because I know, like, you're not one of them, but a lot of people have been saying, get, you know, get, he's got that squad number, get him in the first team, and, you know, let's...
Well, I have said that, but I'm not saying get him in that first team, he's there to play every game of the season.
To that, but I've seen it on, especially on social media, which, you know, can be crackers, but people say it's time for give him a chance, you know, it's time for... for him to partner Maguire, and you're thinking, is that what I'm asking? Well, is this sort of a reminder that this is only a youngster and he's got a long way to go?
The game last night, the Champions League game, if we'd won the previous one, so we were on 9 points, I think a game like that we should have played. Maybe, for example, say like we get a point from the next game, is it PSG? And then we've got RB Leipzig.
Yeah.
We're already through. I think maybe play someone like him in that kind of game. I'm not saying playing him every week. Or,
No, you're not. But remember when we went through like the usual merry-go-round of centre-backs when we had like Lindelof, Bailly, Phil Jones.
Still got Phil Jones.
So I think Phil Jones is he's working in the museum now, I think. I think they found a job for him there.
Shame no one can go.
Yeah. but yeah, I mean, obviously, huge talented lad, and I'm not saying, oh, this shows he's not any good or anything like that. Just a reminder that these kids are still young. Exactly. And especially, you know, Morecambe are a team, you're a tough team, and it's, you know...
Mengi's playing for the 23s, captaining him a few times as well, but he's an under-18 player. This is what I'm saying, that, you know, our squads are young, you know, some of them, like Mengi, you know, he's massive.
Yeah.
So you think he's older than what he is, he's not, he's still a kid, you know, you've got to let him develop still.
So, just on that result, I mean, United still go through, I believe.
We beat Salford, and then, remember last week you were joking about we drew a game and then we had the penalty shootout, the extra point.
Yeah.
The extra point helped us.
Really? Yeah. That shows what I know.
So, we're through, and we've got Accrington Stanley next in.
Who are they?
Exactly.
Good lad. See, there's a reference that only about 1% of our viewers will get, but we get it.
I didn't do the Scouse accent.
I know.
But yeah, we've got them next, and that's now going to be knockout. We've only got to knockout the previous year where we play Tranmere. It's a bit of a joke from the referee that we lost that game, but
typical Scouse.
Yeah, but so I'm looking forward to this one. I don't know when the game's going to be yet, but as soon as we know, I'm sure.
Like you say, it's, you know, obviously the Morecambe game aside, they've been playing well, been getting some good results in, and it's a good learning curve for them. And these are youngsters that we're hopefully going to see in and around the first team very soon. And it's obviously, like you were saying, been more beneficial than the usual stuff we see at the end.
Yeah, I think even that defeat, that's probably good for him. You know, we've still gone through, but we had all the possession, and we still got beat 4-0, and that's a wake-up call, thinking you can't just have possession. That doesn't win you games. And now they'll know you've got to create chances and you've got to actually score these chances. And that's what we didn't do enough of in that game. And then I'm sure the next game we will be making sure we try and score some goals.
Sounds good. There was a game as well against Spurs, I believe.
Yeah, that was the last game we played. Good result. Was it 4-2? I think 4-2 flattered Spurs a little bit in certain ways. But I can see why they got two as well. But yeah, first goal. This is what I was saying about Shola Shortire, you know, little lad. But we had a crossing by Pelestri. What's his first name? Gary.
Gary. We keep calling him Gary. I think it was Macker who started calling him Gary Pelestri. And, you know, as a joke on Gary Pelestri.
I can't
barely even.
Every time I say it now, it's.
What is it? Fasundo, I think. Fasundo. I've probably pronounced that completely wrong. Just like pronounced wrong there. whatever. So, yeah, Pelestri, though. There was loads of clips when they were doing the rounds on social media about look what he can do and all this. But
yeah, he crossed the ball into the box, and then it was a bullet header from Shola Shortire, and it was a really brilliant header. He was slightly unmarked, but it was still a good header. And this is what I mean. He might have grown a foot because he jumped in the air and headed this ball. You know, getting old, he must be 16 now.
It's over for him. It's not worked out. Get another career. Yeah, football's not for you, son.
But yeah, he scored. Yeah, it was a good goal. And then they equalised from a cross into the back post, and someone slid in and got it. And that was frustrating because we were on top at that point. We should have gone on to score another one rather than them scoring. And then Shortire was on the left wing, cuts inside. And I thought he was going to have a shot, but he played it across the box to Pujmal, who knocks it into the bottom corner, like a low, hard shot. Really good goal, really. Like I said, he played well against Brighton, and I thought he played really good against against Spurs as well. He's another one. I mentioned Galbraith last episode about how he's going to progress more now. The others have gone out on loan, and Pujmal's another one who can do that as well, because the first choice now are probably Galbraith and Pujmal. Galbraith played in the Spurs game, but he'd been on duty with Northern Ireland and actually got his second cap for Northern Ireland now, so he's played more times for Northern Ireland than the SV United now.
Really?
Yeah, it's two for Northern Ireland, and he played in the Astana game for United. So United need to, you know, sort it out and get it back to all.
It's happened. I remember years. I think was it Pat McGibbon, one of the youngsters when I was a kid. I think he got his debut for his country before he did for United. I might be wrong about that, but double check it. But you know, you mentioned there a few players like Shawshire, and obviously, you know, Hannibal as well, as you say, was featured in that game. These are players that you keep talking about, keep hearing about. Obviously, impressing. I mean, how far away do you think some of these lads are from knocking on that door?
I think, like I mentioned with Galbraith, I think he's not too far away.
Yeah.
In this season, I think he could play a couple of, a handful of games, you know, maybe when we need someone to play, maybe come off the bench, something like that. Mejbri, I can see him having a game, but I don't think he's, I think he's still not strong enough for the Premier League, you know, certain amount of way. But what benefits him is all the other lads out on loan, because there's people like Galbraith and McGee and Levitt, yeah. Who, you know, they should be knocking on the door at the moment, but they've gone out on loan, which I think is the best thing they could do, because we've got too many midfielders in the first.
Well, you like Garner and Levitt, as you mentioned there. Yeah, you know, everyone thought that this might be the season. Gone out on loan for a reason. I mean, Donny van der Beek can barely get a game.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So what chance would Levitt and Garner get at the moment? I think, and they're both doing well out on loan. I need to look into it a bit more, but yeah, people are happy with him. They even put Garner on the front of a Watford program the other day. Just him.
That's so it. That's the pinnacle. Of your footballing career, when you get on the front page of the Hornets program. You said, well, we've got the West Ham game coming up.
No, we're still finished. We're
not. Sorry, mate. I'm always cutting you short here, Dave, aren't I? When you've got more to tell me.
Lucas Bezier, he played a ball from centre-back. Well, actually, he's a centre-back, but he's playing right-back. Brilliant ball over the top. Beat the offside trap, and Pujmal went on to score for his second goal. Then we got another one where Shawshire was fouled. No, I would say fouled. He was tackled, but I say it was fouled. He wasn't, but...
Well, you know the rules, Manchester United. Yeah. If it's tackle, it's a foul.
Yeah, referee didn't say it. And, he went on to pass it, and then they scored to make it 3-2. And then we got one late on with Elanga, and this is classic Elanga. Just what he does best is getting the ball on the edge of the line, like halfway line, running down the wing, cutting inside, getting into the box, and then just blasting it into the goal. And he did that a few times last season for the under-18s, and he did it today, and it's great to see, honestly. It's like just the speed of him, and he just goes in a straight line down the wing, cuts inside, gets in the box, and just has a shot, and when he scores him, it's good. And he scored that late on, and that made it 4-2, and I think that we deserve four goals in that game.
That was appropriate, yeah, you feel, 4-2. Yeah. Good result against the Spurs team as well, you know, we're not playing games here. West Ham.
Yeah, we've got West Ham on Friday.
Yep.
Away at Rush Green. That should be a good game. We got beat by him last season away. That was a long journey, cold journey.
Oh, I've done that one. We
played at Dagenham last year.
Did you? Yeah. Oh, I remember got Upton Park once and we got beat 4-0. I think it was Jonathan Spector or someone crazy.
Johnny Spector,
yeah. And Carlton Cole getting in the action. It started snowing as we were leaving as well. It was a horrible journey home. But no, so obviously things are going well. I look forward to that, and they can hopefully avenge that defeat.
Fingers crossed. I mean, we're currently on 11 points in the league. We're currently six. Liverpool are top.
Sick of hearing this.
Yeah, they're top with 16 points. So Liverpool are both top of the 18s and 23s.
VAR.
But we're 11 points, 5 points behind them, but we do have a game in hand. So if we win that game in hand, we're only 2 points off the top. So, you know, it's not too bad considering, I know I'm owned about saying, but both leagues don't matter what, you know, they're more or less the same league, but considering we got promoted, we're not that far off the top really.
So it sounds like things are going well then.
Yeah.
You've got some players there that are impressing you. Results are, on the whole, very good.
I mean, with the 23s, it's up and down a little bit, but listen, as long as they're developing, that's all that really matters.
It does seem like now, like you spoke about earlier, like the 23s, is almost being used the right way, in the way it should be, and it seems to be developing his players, and his players are getting a decent standard of football, where in the past it just seems to be, it wasn't always like that. And also you'd have players coming in from the first team and it was just like, you know, they didn't even, almost didn't want to be there, some of them. Like, they just had to do it to get the fitness up or whatever.
I mean, who have I seen? I've seen Fellaini play.
You've seen Anderson? I remember Anderson playing from the 23s.
Raphael, it was the last ever game for United, was a reserve game, and he scored a belter. Baye, he's done it. I've seen a few, but it's... I mean, usually happens is you play till half time, then get in the cars and go home.
It's like, I've got to be, I need to get my fitness up, but I don't really want to be. And that, you know, I get it, you have to do those sort of things, but it's good to see the youngsters being given a chance, showing what they can do, getting some good results. And hopefully soon you'll be able to go and watch him in the flesh as well, because I know you must be cold turkey and you, mate.
I don't know what's going to be happening with it, because I can't see the 18s being allowed to watch them for quite a while, because obviously it's the play at Carrington, the training ground. I can't imagine letting people go in, which is a pain because I really love watching them. 23s maybe, because they play at Lee, so when the stadium thing happens, it all depends on United really. Obviously they've got to take into consideration the young players, and they want to protect them, make sure they don't get this virus. And yeah, it's a pain in the backside, but it is what it is. Everyone's in the same boat at the moment. It's not like it's just us, it's everyone.
Everyone is in the same boat, Dave, but for me, not being able to go to games means I miss like 2 games a week. For you, it means you miss about 37 a week, don't it? Because the amount of games you go to.
I think, I usually get 3 in, but I've done 6 in a week once. I was gutted, I couldn't get the 7th in. 7 in 7, that
part timer.
All United games as well.
I apologise for having such a part-time Fairweather fan on the channel. Dave, where can people find you?
Twitter, David J. Pritt, or on Instagram, David Pritt.
Make sure you check him out as well, because you get all the updates there from the under-18s, under-23s, and the first team as well. He doesn't just watch the academy and the youth teams, he also watches the first team as well. He's well worth checking out. He's still doing YouTube stuff as well.
I've not done
slacking off a little bit.
Yeah,
on that.
Well, I've not been able to edit anything during lockdown. I don't have my editing software at home. I usually come into town to do it, so... I've not done it since the first lockdown.
We'll just get Callum to do it. He's got nothing to do. Just give him.
Plus,
pro bono.
My videos were talking about the games I'd been to and what I thought about them games, and I can't. So what do you do this week? Well, just sat
watched
home.
It on the telly. Saw the results on Twitter. there you go. Another video out soon. Make sure you check Dave out. I've been Jay. This has been the Stretford Paddock Academy Review. We've got loads of good videos coming up, as usual. We'll be looking ahead towards the Southampton game. We'll have the watch-along, the preview. We'll have all the post-match reaction as well. So make sure you're hitting like, sharing, and subscribe. Thanks for watching.
Sports Social Podcast Network.